Several years ago, a very faithful pastor made a phone call to a young family who had visited his church the previous Sunday. And when he made that phone call, on the other end of the phone was the voice of a little boy who whispered, "Hello." The pastor said, "Who is this?" The little boy responded, "It's Jimmy." The pastor said, "Jimmy, how old are you?" "I'm 4. The pastor inquired, "Jimmy, can I talk to your mother?" "She's busy." "Well then, can I talk to your father?" "He's busy." The pastor asked, "Is there any other adults in your home?" Jimmy whispered, "The police are here." The pastor asked, "Can I talk to one of the policemen?" "No, they're busy." "Is there anyone else in the house?" Jimmy whispered, "There's firemen here." The pastor inquired once again, "Can I speak to one of the firemen?" Jimmy whispered, "They're busy too." By this point, the pastor was becoming very, very concerned with what was going on in Jimmy's house. And so he asked Jimmy, "What is everyone so busy doing in your house?" To which Jimmy whispered even more quietly, "They're looking for me." You're welcome. This morning, I have to tell you that when we're looking for a child in the world in which we live, an Amber Alert is issued. It's an all points bulletin that reaches out to all kinds of people who live in an area where a child has not been found. And it is a very, very scary thing. And I wanted to ask you this morning, how many of you who have smartphones, like I do, even though I'm not very smart with it, how many of you have ever received, without warning, an Amber Alert concerning some child that was missing in the area in which you live? I appreciate you sharing. I have to tell you, that happened to me last fall. I live in Nebraska, for God's sake. Things like that are not supposed to happen there, especially that close to the parish where I serve. But in a town just 30 miles north of where I'm blessed to serve as pastor, an Amber Alert went off in my phone. And 2 children were missing. They needed to be found. And I have to tell you, when that Amber Alert went off on my phone, it scared the bejeebers out of me. It's as if my heart stopped. I say that because I'm a father. And I remember when my kids were young and we would be visiting a store like Walmart during the Christmas season, we spent most of our time not shopping, but just making sure that our kids never left our side. This morning in our reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew that Nick just read, we see that Jesus has issued an Amber Alert of sorts for yet another disciple. Our story begins like this. Let me share it with you. As Jesus went out from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he said. And Matthew got up and followed him. It wasn't much of a search, was it? The National Guard wasn't called up. No tracking dogs were brought in. No, the Bible tells us that Jesus went up to where Matthew was working as a tax collector. He invited him to follow, and he did. I don't know about you, but when I read those words, I think to myself, that just isn't fair. For those of us who have been on the front line of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ for many years, we know it doesn't happen that way very often. It never goes that easy or even that well. We know that reaching out and calling people to follow Jesus is a very difficult task for each and every one of us, no matter what our vocation in life may be. And if we're honest with ourselves and one another, and especially with our God, we all know, without exception, that all of us have failed in the task of being salt and light to the world in which we have been called to live. All of us have failed in our witness. All of us have failed to show and share the precious light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all of us, myself included, had often thought, is it really worth the effort when they don't really want to listen and hear about Jesus anyway? And for that, we must repent and ask God, our Savior, the light of the world, to reestablish his light and his life in us, so that we may be who he has called us out of our baptisms to be, lights in his world. This morning in our text, Jesus comes to Matthew. He calls him, and he follows. And we praise God for that. But I have often read that text and wondered, what happened after that? What happened after Matthew received his call and they went on their way to Matthew's house to eat, as our lesson says, with sinners and tax collectors? In my own simple way of thinking, something amazing must have happened. The Holy Spirit must have been on fire in the heart of Matthew, because as they make their way to his house, and once they arrive, the Bible tells us that Jesus sat down with his disciples to eat with Matthew's friends, those sinners and those tax collectors who he shared his life with. And they became a blessing to one another, and especially to our God. I don't know what happened in that conversation between Jesus and Matthew, but one thing I know, the Spirit was working in Matthew's heart. And not only did he want his friends to meet and to eat with Jesus, but more importantly, he wanted them to follow Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. And isn't that our goal? And isn't that our hope as well this morning? As the blood-bought children of God who have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, isn't that our hope and our goal for our lives and our ministry as well? That those who are sitting in the darkness of sin and unbelief might be brought to faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that they may be able to celebrate and enjoy the light and the salvation that is ours fully and freely in Christ our Lord. Indeed, my friends, it is. Now, speaking of light, there's an old story told by pastors about an old town drunk who, after spending a long evening in the local tavern, was making his way home, and as he was making his way home, he lost his keys. And when the local pastor came by on his way home from church that evening, he discovered the old drunk not only on his hands and knees, but looking diligently for something under the light. The pastor did not know what he was looking for, and so he said, "Sam, what in the world are you looking for down there under the streetlight?" And Sam said, "Pastor, I'm looking for my keys." The pastor, being a kind-hearted man like our beloved Dr. Burson, got quickly down on his hands and knees. And he began to search diligently with old Sam under the streetlight. After the pastor had looked with Sam for several minutes under the streetlight for his keys, he turned to Sam and said, "Where did you lose your keys?" And Sam pointed over there And he said, over there in the grass. The pastor was losing his patience, and he said, Sam, why in the world are we looking here when you lost your keys over in the grass? And Sam said, well, pastor, this is where the light is. My friends, this is where the light is. This is where Christ is. And I want to thank you personally on behalf of my wife and myself for sharing and showing the light and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ with us again this week. We get but a snapshot of the life that is lived here at the seminary. But as we are blessed to serve in your midst, how great the light of Christ shines in each and every one of us. And I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the light of Christ and his great love for all, including broken vessels like you and me, will continue to shine brighter than it ever has been before in this sin-darkened world in which we live. Why? Because I totally believe that you and I each and every day encounter people that are lost, who are living in the darkness of sin and unbelief, and desperately they're searching for the light. And we have it. It's right here, right now with us here this morning. It's right here, right now with us as we go out into the world and be salt and light to those who live and dwell among us. And because it is true, I praise God that just as our Savior called Matthew, so too he has called you and I out of the waters of baptism to be his disciples. I praise God that just as Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors in our lesson for today, he still does that with us. In fact, he did just yesterday morning as he invited us to his table and allowed us to commune with him, his very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. And above all, I praise God. I praise God that the light and the love of Jesus shines in each and every one of you. And I pray that as we continue our journey with Jesus every day, that we'll always remember that we are his. We belong to him, and we are his disciples. So let's share and let's show his light like never before until he comes. And with that we say, amen.